Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This podcast was brought to you in part by Dragon Shield. Use code PLAY2WIN5 at the affiliate link down below for 5% off to help support the show.
Welcome back to the PLAY2WIN podcast, where we're talking about winning in CEDH. I'm Cam.
And I'm Dylan. This week, we're talking about our current lineup in CEDH, the decks that we play, the decks that we bring to tournaments and to play with people. Our decks in CEDH right now.
Exactly. And I think we're both looking to add another deck to our lineup too, so...
I have three. I'm always looking to add a fourth. For some reason, every single time, by the time I get to the fourth, I'm like, this third deck sucks. Let's take that one apart. And for some reason, I can't keep them together.
That happens to me all of the time too. And once I get a fourth deck, I feel I'm run out on like another one then. So I'll only have four decks for like... a second before the first one gets taken apart.
I've talked about this a little bit before. I try to think of it as like the rule of two, like the Sith, like they only have two of them ever at one time.
Oh, that's but a Star
like,
Wars thing?
Yeah, it's a Star Wars thing. Okay. But like from what I understand, they also break their rules like all the time. So there's always like a kind of a third that's not really a Sith, but like there's like another one kind of two, I think,
like
from
a
what
backup
I've gathered.
For when the second one's gonna die, because the second one dies all the time.
That's like part of it. That's like the little guy's gotta kill the big guy. That's how he becomes the big guy. That's like the cycle. That's why there's only ever two.
Right, that's what it is.
I'm not a Star Wars fan. I could be getting part of this wrong.
I don't. In the prequels, though, like between Maul and then Dooku and then whoever else is in the... I guess it becomes Vader in the third.
It becomes... which third?
Our
third?
The third, which is...
Actual episode
the
three.
The actual episode three.
And it becomes Vader in three. Yes,
that's
true.
And there's no other like apprentice in three, right? Because General Grievous is the other bad guy, but he's a completely separate thing, right?
Oh, geez. Okay, you're asking me a lot of stuff right now. To be honest with you, I'm not sure. I think Grievous is a separate thing.
I thought he was too, because he has his own lightsaber collection.
Right.
None of them are red, because there's only two red ones.
We're talking about stuff that we have not nearly enough an idea
about.
That's
the theme of our podcast. Two guys who talk about things they don't know anything about. Yeah. This week's episode is called Star Wars.
Yeah. I try to keep two. In my dream, I want four. I always hover around three.
Yeah.
We can talk about our decks. Do you want to go first or should I?
I'm going to go first.
You go
time.
First.
I'm gonna go first because I
just
put
made a big
one
change.
Together. I made a big change. Yeah. I took Kenrith apart. Like
rest
I was
in peace.
Saying.
A moment for rest for Kenrith.
Exactly. Yeah. Moment of silence.
Moment of silence. I was gonna do the Jurassic Park theme song.
Oh.
But I'm not really a great whistler. Nice. You were a good music major. Kenrith is gone. Why is Kenrith is gone? Give me the quick rundown.
Because he fucking sucks
fucking
now.
Fucking sucks a little bit.
Nah, he doesn't really. But the deck didn't perform super well at this past tournament like we talked about all last week.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking to speed my decks up a little bit too.
The format's speeding up. We want to speed it up along with
I
it.
I want to match it. Right, yeah. So if I'm not... I don't want to play something that's... totally off meta now. If anything, I want to try to beat the faster meta and either play a stacks deck already, or I'm going to try to just be in the meta. And I think I want to be in the meta for now because we're not at the point where I think it makes sense to start metagaming for it.
Yeah, that's true. Normally in the rock, paper, scissors, the combo decks beat the mid-range decks beat the stacks decks beat the combo decks.
Exactly.
In our CDH, that's how it works normally.
It's like the weapon triangle and Fire Emblem.
Right, yeah. So for a while, stacks decks got a little bit popular, which means the Rhystic Study mid-range decks got really popular. And I think the best way to beat that mid-range hell that we talked about a little bit is the turbo decks. Decks like Rock'Sai that can win very quickly, but can also kind of hang if they need to a little bit later on. If you want to beat the aggro deck, you play stacks. But I don't know if we have enough stacks pieces to truly be good. We've already kind of discovered that. Like, in a 50-minute or 80-minute, how long is the clock for CDH games?
We were playing 80 minutes for this tournament,
It can be kind of tricky for stacks decks to win in that amount of time.
It kind of can be, yeah. I feel like you need to be more tempo stacks decks, like the way that Blood Pod would play, where you have an easy one-card win condition that you can really easily tutor for and easily get to win under all of your stacks pieces too.
You heard it here first. Blood Pod is the new meta buster. Good against the fast decks.
You got that right.
All right. Anyway, Kenrith is gone. It's a little too slow. What have you replaced Kenrith with?
I put Blue Farm back together.
Very original.
Oh, very original. Yeah, I know. I know. But I'm very excited about it this time for
good
some
decks
reason.
Are good. They're more fun to play. I know a lot of people like to play their special decks, and that's great. Tin Matana is wonderful, but good decks are fun to play.
Yeah, I feel like what I'm trying to do is right now I have two good decks. I have a fun deck, and I want another fun deck, I think is what I'm going to end up being at. Because I know Blue Farm, I always say, is one of the best decks in the format. Maybe not right now, but universally, like, it's always going to be good.
Hard to dispute that Blue Farm is one of the best three decks at all times. A lot of the times, it's the first of the best decks. Sometimes it's the second best deck, depending on your week or tournament.
Yeah.
But it's in that top three for sure.
At least the pairing of Timna Krom. Although this version I'm playing now feels a lot more like Blue Farm as opposed to like the mid-range versions. I basically took a look at the Invitational winning deck list and I said, all right, what cards don't fit my playstyle? And what cards do I think are only in here because they were playing at the Invitational?
Okay, what did you come up with?
So I ended up taking out a decent amount of cards. Let me pull up the list that they have real quick.
Can you do a compare?
Oh, yeah, I can do a compare. Moxfield is great. There's 9 cards that are different between my list and their list.
Let's run through them.
So a couple of them are lands. I added an additional land to the deck.
One extra, okay.
I added one additional
land to the deck. How many was it running and how many is it running?
Bailey's list has 27 lands and I bumped it up to 28 lands. I don't know if that's right, but it just feels a little bit comfortable for like also being able to play in a long game too.
Okay.
So I threw in Sea of Clouds and Morphic Pool because I'm a big fan of the Battle Bond lands, and I really want these colors in particular
now. You want blue. You want to make sure your lands tap for blue. That's kind of the main focus.
Blue, black is the most important, and my third most important color is white for sure. So that's why those two have made it in, and I'm not really looking for another one.
Okay.
And I cut Forbidden Orchard because I can't stand Forbidden Orchard. I'm never going to play it. Yeah. And then I also cut Sarah's Ascendant too.
Trap card.
I think, exactly. I know it's really good with Timna, but I have plenty of other creatures that are really good with Timna, and I'm not necessarily worried about my life total. And if I am worried about my life total, I just know that ad nauseum is not how I'm going to win the game. You just pivot, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you're expecting a turbo meta, you're not going to be the fastest deck. So that means you're not going to be the main attacking target normally.
That's true. Yeah.
Right? So you don't need the life gain as much, maybe?
Yeah, I'm trying to like win second, I feel like. I'm trying to like help protect myself from losing early and then still be able to win second with the ability to win first too. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this is a much more flexible spot to be able to do both things than Kenrith was able to.
Kenrith does not have nearly as many turn one, turn two winning opportunities.
I wasn't playing ad nauseum.
Yeah, like your only option is like if you find Dockside Emile in your first two and then like it just makes enough. Outside
because
of that,
like my opponents fed it a ton.
Right, yeah, like outside of that, Kenrith is not doing anything super impactful, at least in my experience on those first turns of the game, but Blue Farm kind of is just like the same thing, but faster.
Yeah, exactly. You have that option.
What other cards have you swapped out?
So I cut everything that is a color hoser.
Interesting.
So I cut Pyroblast, Red Elemental Blast. I don't like, I haven't been liking them as much.
My always big love for them is that they also kill Aristic Study or Mystic Remora after it's hit board. I love that so much about those cards.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
They also counter Thassa's Oracle on the stack. I mean, so do a lot of other counter spells, but
all my other counter
spells,
yeah,
for creatures, not as many.
I guess that's true.
But it's okay. I mean, a lot of people do take them out. I see it all the time.
Maybe like the addition of Valley Floodcaller being in the format, like if there's more things that I am going to want to be able to destroy that are in play, that might sway me to play one. Normally, I've liked playing one of them instead of like both. But I don't know. There was some other interaction that I wanted to play instead.
That's fair.
Like I put in Cyclonic Rift because I like Cyclonic Rift just as like a really powerful card. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's better for like when we switch over to a more Staxy meta and I need to actually board wipe. But if the meta is getting faster, maybe this isn't something that I want. So it's certainly something that I put in for now because it's on the chopping block since we're kind of like in between the slow and fast metas right now. I'm kind of looking to still be able to do both. I think that's why one of that is board interaction.
Can I ask, do you have Into the Flood Maw in there or was it playing that? Is Into the Flood Maw in this deck at all?
Into the Flood Maw is not in this deck.
What about Chain of Vapor?
Chain of Vapor is in the deck.
Is in the deck, okay.
If I need to bounce a non-land permanent with my Tymna deck, like I want to, I don't like the idea of giving someone like a blocker, I guess.
Sure, it's a tapped fish.
It's a tapped fish. For that, yeah, but then the next turn it's not tapped.
Yeah, that's true. It's same thing with the Forbidden Orchard, your same reasoning. You just don't want to give your opponents resources.
I just don't
want to
give someone
cost.
A resource. That's yeah, fair. A creature as a resource is a really good resource, so I'm trying not to do that. And then the other interactive spell I put in is Mana Drain, because I can't build a blue. This is a me problem.
Yeah.
This isn't a learn something. Maybe the something you learn is don't do what I'm doing. But but the me problem is I need to be playing Mana Drain in my blue decks, and I love it. And so I put Mana Drain.
It's very good for your play style, like the win second play style. I think Mana Drain's great for that because it just sets you up so perfectly. It's such a good tempo play of just like, stop your thing on my thing. My ad nauseum's now cheaper. Let me leave up more counter magic. It is great. I do like it if you can use it. I don't play it in my two blue decks, but my two blue decks are Rock'sai Superfast and Sissei, who can't really do as much with the colorless mana, but I still think it makes sense. Good card.
I took out Blue Elemental Blast too.
Yeah.
Because I'll never play a deck that has Blue Elemental Blast in it.
Just on principle.
Just on principle, yeah.
There's two good red cards in the format.
Yeah.
And yeah, countering them is great. There's like so many other cards in the format.
By the time they're in play, they've already done their damage.
They've already done. You can counter it. The Blue Elemental Blast can counter it.
Well, yeah. But what I'm saying is by the time that like Dockside or Underworld Breach are already in play, like if you draw it off of
afterwards.
Your Rhystic Study later.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you can use it to, like, get rid of a Rhystic Study before you combo off.
It's much more often, I would imagine, a counter a red spell than it is destroy a red spell. Like, yeah, there's good
probably,
red spells,
yeah.
But, like, Chrom, like, do you really need to kill a Chrom? I don't know. I would rather my interaction, like, stop a win condition or get rid of a Stax Beast than
and
get rid of a Chrom.
And also be able to kill a Chrom, too.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
I'd rather play Dismember,
Dismember
in the slot
that. Yeah.
100% of the time.
I love
yeah.
Dismember. Oh, Dismember is so fucking good
so
right now,
cool.
I think.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of really good white mana removal spells, though, too, in addition to Path to Exile. We'll talk about more next week.
There's a new one coming out, right?
Exactly,
destroy
yeah.
a creature for one white. They get a 2/2 or something?
Yeah.
That's
so
like a
it seems pretty good,
I think
yeah.
I think that's all right.
It's even better than Manifest because they get to like kind of fix it a little bit.
And you don't play it over Swords or Path to Exile, so do you want a third version of that?
In mono white, maybe.
Maybe
you get to the point that that's what you want.
But outside of that.
Beating cards that I might not end up wanting, I swapped out the Blue Elemental Blast for Delny Streetwise Lookout, because if I'm going to be experimenting with a card, I think this is the one I want to experiment with.
This one lets Tymna get a little bit silly, I think.
Yeah, if I didn't have Tymna in the command zone, I think I wouldn't be interested in this at all, but being able to double my Tymna triggers in the command zone and Dockside and Esper Sentinel, and like I keep finding like more things that it works super well with too.
Ragavan? You playing Ragavan?
Yeah, it doubles my Ragavan triggers. It doubles my Valley Floodcaller triggers, like the untap trigger too, so
if rarely is relevant, but if you have Paradise Mantle?
Honestly, I want to talk about that even more in another deck that I have coming up too.
Okay.
But yeah, so I want to try out Delny because it seems like that card can be really, really, really good value, but might be something I look to take out if we end up getting faster.
Okay.
I also took out Bloodchief Ascension.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to play that card.
Well, yeah, what's going on with Bloodchief Ascension?
I don't know. I feel like if I'm not playing Talion in the command zone, I'm not interested in this card in general. Again, this is the Invitational, so
yeah.
We know what the other players are going to be.
Yeah, and these players are also winning a lot of tournaments, and we are not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But
and their meta, the Invitational meta, I'm sure everyone was expecting a ton of Rog'sai.
Yeah.
So you play Bloodchief Ascension, and it's an awesome way to like stop the Underworld Breach decks from being able to do what they want to do.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I kind of like it as a metagame thing, but when I'm building a deck, I'm looking to be able to play this in any blind scenario. I play with a lot of content. If I'm like going to be on someone else's show or something, I want to make sure that I'm not like metagaming in my deck.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you want all your cards to kind of just be generically good. I think that's also part of your like Jund player philosophy of just like cards that are just like playable, good cards.
Always
going to
be good and not situational. Yeah. So I put in Opposition Agent.
Okay.
Because I feel like I want another attacker with Tymna. It's just another really good body, another good creature. It can kind of help fit my win second, but able to still win quickly plan by helping me get the win condition that I might need from stopping someone else's tutor. Helps me grind a little bit more. I don't hate it, but also another card I will look to take out if I'm trying to get even faster.
Yeah,
admittedly a slower card.
Yeah, especially with like Sissei is one of the best decks in the format right now. It makes total sense to have Opposition Agent in your deck if you're going for tempo.
Yeah.
If you're looking to stop the first player who goes for a win and win second, Oppo is like a great way to do that, especially because Rog'sai, their whole strategy is like find ton of mana, find action, and normally that action can just be like Demonic Tutor to find Ad Nauseam or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So like that's like a big part of their plan too. So it makes, I mean, we know Opposition Agent is good. I don't have to go into too many details about why that is, but it makes sense for what you're trying
to do. It feels like you can kind of feel, make it feel like you're playing Commandeer a little bit, where like you get to like
yeah,
kind
three
of
mana Commandeer,
a
yeah.
3-mana Commandeer for something in someone's deck that's going to help you win the game. Like even if it's only a land, like that still is something that's going to help you win the game. And then you're taxing out the table for the rest of the time that it's in play. So I still kind of really like it. Helps you draw with Timna. I took out Angel's Grace because I don't think that Angel's Grace is a great card. Again, I think this might be like a meta-specific thing. Like, Rog'Sai's trying to win. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm going to be able to get something. You know what? Maybe that fits...
What have you figured out?
Maybe that fits the win second mentality.
I could see that. I mean, Angel's Grace, it does a lot of good things. It lets you Ad Nauseam when you're at one life, and you can take your whole deck in your hand.
That's true. Great. I'll never have to worry about my life total being low. I can get attacked for forever.
It is basically the best answer possible to a Thassa's Oracle win attempt.
Also true,
but
yeah.
The issue is a lot of Thassa's Oracle attempts, to be honest, are like Underworld Breach lines, truly. And they end on Thassa's Oracle. And normally at that point, you can still brain freeze your opponents, right?
That is true, yeah.
So you can mill them out normally because you've created so much storm, and then you just pass the turn and everyone loses on their draw. So it's not like a... It doesn't just automatically stop the bet, you know what I mean?
It's
but like,
only a gotcha on the consultation win.
Which every really other, is less likely.
Yeah, exactly. Every other one is going to have some sort of flexibility. Like, they can stop at a certain point with Tainted Pact so they don't win right away.
So are you thinking you want to put it back in, or are you still sticking to cutting it?
I'm starting to think that I want to put it back in, because there is a card that I did put in over Angel's Grace that I'm already not sure that I'm happy with.
Okay.
That's Phantasmal Image.
Interesting.
And here's why. The deck is already running Mockingbird,
which you can find off of Ranger Captain of Eos.
Yes.
That's
yes,
great.
Exactly. And it's also playing Phyrexian Metamorph.
Being able to copy the One Ring or even a Mana Crypt.
Yeah.
Is fine.
Now, here's where I get to the next point. This list wasn't playing the One Ring. It was only playing Metamorph. I put in the One Ring as well, taking out Slaughter Pact because I put in Cyclonic Rift already. So like I felt like I have like a little bit of more
Slaughter
onboard
Pact,
removal.
Slaughter Pact is a good one that I feel like does not see enough play. I do love that card, but I understand why you cut it. Like you have Swords to Plowshare and things like that.
Yeah, there's other things I can do. And again, I'm adding Cyclonic Rift to my 98. So I'm kind of making up that slot a little bit.
I'm with you. Yep.
Not exactly, but it's a similar role. I haven't been happy with Phantasmal Image because playing the deck back again, I feel like I have too many clones.
Too many clones.
And there's not enough stuff on the board that I want to copy that's good enough for me to warrant having 3 clones.
When the format speeds up, the clones get a little bit worse, right? Because if everyone's like winning on like turn 2 or 3, by that time, like your sorceries might not do anything. Like, what are you going to clone? Like a Rograk or a Sisse or a Timna? Like, that's not going to do anything. And when I see a Dockside come in, I think the game is over. I think it's rare to pass with a Dockside in a lot of the games that I've seen in the past couple months. You make enough treasures to win the game most of the time.
Feels like putting Ad Nauseam on the stack.
Right.
Like, it's in the same vein
and
of winning the
of
game.
And because of so many clones, I feel it's almost irresponsible to pass with the Dockside. Like, you're going to give your opponents the opportunity to clone your Dockside without winning the game. Like, that feels really bad. I kind of get it. Like, cutting back on clones in a deck like that does make sense.
And Phantasmal Image has been a card that, like, I want to include in every single blue deck. But I think I've finally found a situation where, because the new Mockingbird is able to be gotten off of Ranger Captain, and the only reason why I want a 2-mana clone is to be able to copy
Dockside.
Yeah, like there's really no point in playing a clone that's super fragile for when I need it to be something else, right? And I also don't like how like Esper Sentinel has been the best creature in play recently for me to copy a lot of the times, and a 2-mana Esper Sentinel doesn't feel like it's a good card. And correct me if I'm wrong, Mockingbird can copy 1-mana value things for 1 blue mana?
I think so, yeah.
With mana value less than or equal to the amount of mana spent to cast it. Yeah,
not
so
what
Mockingbird
X is equal to.
No, I had a situation last night or the other night when we were playing where I was considering playing it as a Birds of Paradise, but like it could also just be a 1-mana Esper. That feels so much better in what the meta today would look like than what Phantasmal Image is going to be. So already I'm thinking that maybe we were onto something with Angel's Grace a little bit more than this Phantasmal Image,
I think. That makes sense. I do think there are some decks that still play Phantasmal Image pretty well. Decks like Atraxa and Tivit that want to clone their commander and even though the Fimage will die, you still get the trigger. That can be really nice, and you don't have access to red, so it's like your only way to get a Dockside if someone does pass with a Dockside. Yeah. That's fine. For a deck like Blue Farm, Timnacrom, when your card quality is so fucking high, I think it's fair. I think Phantasmal Image is a fair cut.
Yeah, I think so too. And the last thing, I took out Dam as well. Because I think Dam is just a little slow for what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
So I put in Imperial Seal because I noticed Imperial Seal wasn't in the deck. And I was like...
In Timna decks, it seems good.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that I would like. I'd like to win on my second main with getting the perfect thing off of Timna.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's such a good line of play that I'm interested in that.
Kind of just fits your play style.
Outside of that, there are 98 similar cards.
Not 98.
Oh, you're right. 89.
Eight... A little dyslexia there.
Yeah, just a wee bit. So that means we're leaning a lot more into like Necropotence and the Valley Flood Caller now that that's out.
Yeah, dude, the Valley Flood Caller, that to me has felt like one of the biggest shifts in CDH in a long time.
Oh, for sure.
The fact that these Grixis decks now have Valley Flood Caller and Born Upon the Wind, as well as Necropotence and Necro Dominance, like you have so many more opportunities, along with Final Fortune and even the other red extra turn spells. Like you have so many new ways to win on the stack, win in weird moments, win on the end step. And in CDH, like winning at an unexpected time is so valuable, it feels like. Like being able to win over top of somebody's win, being able to win in somebody's end step or something like that. It just feels super important because everyone is kind of primed to win at all moments, it feels like, from like turn two or three on. It seems like everyone's like always in such a good spot. So you never want to be the first one to punch. Last night, I think we were playing a game where you, I think once or even twice, cast Valley Flood Caller. Someone tried to respond, and then like you're like in response, a Born Upon the Wind on top of the Valley Flood Caller, and then cast an Underworld Breach and try to win. Then
well, it sucked because I knew that our opponent had Silence in their hand, so I'm like, I can still win around this. Let's do Valley Flood Caller and then Born, so that way I get everything. Like it's nice when you have multiples, and then that way you get into those God scenarios where you're just like, I got it all, and I can still win over all of your interaction too. And I think that is also like a great thing to add to the win second strategy. Like not only does your win second, I'm stopping a win with my counterspell, your win second is you're trying to win and I'm Valley Flood Callering so that I can Underworld Breach on top of you.
Yes,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think the win second mentality of being able to pick any window you want to win in, that's what's so important. Like not necessarily winning the second, not going for the second win attempt, but winning like when you choose, going for the win when it's best for you to win, not just like
this second,
right? Like not just because like I have to wait until turn four on my main phase one when everyone's looking at me to win. Being able to find a window somewhere else is super powerful, and Valley Flood Caller really helps you do that.
Yeah, so I have not had the best record returning to Blue Farm quite yet, but this is a new style of Blue Farm that I was not similar to the last Blue Farm list that I was playing that was much more mid-rangey. So I feel like I'm still in scenarios where I probably should be going for it. I think I got to retrain my brain a little bit, maybe not be so afraid.
Yeah.
And just kind of take it from there. So I'm very excited to have it back together and to be getting back into the Blue Farm swing of things.
Yeah, deck seems awesome. It's still good. I'm glad to have it in our playgroup's repertoire too, because it's one
of
the best
decks. It really should be in our playgroup's repertoire. Yeah, really,
it's surprising how few times Timnacrom has been on the channel. Like you
and done well on the channel, especially.
Yeah, well, for a while, the most it's been on the channel was when it was Opus Thief. And when it was Opus Thief, it wasn't a great deck.
It was not good. No, not at all. Couldn't keep up with anything the rest of the format was doing.
Cool. Yeah, Timnacrom's great.
We spent way too much time talking about that. Oh my God, let's talk about some of your decks.
I'll go quick. I'm playing Sisse. It's good. Your turn. No.
Great.
Yeah, let me pull up my Sisse list.
Because I know we did talk about your Sisse deck quite a bit last week and a lot of the stuff that it was able to do. You're playing in another tournament in Vermont this weekend, right?
I am, yes.
I guess by the time this video comes out, you've already played in the tournament.
I'm just going to run back the same list that I have, Sisse Super Friends, the list that I played at the Cloud event. I'm not going to change anything. There are a couple cards that are like on my radar that I'm looking to change, so I can kind of go over those first. First one is Lavinia. Card can be super powerful, but it can really bite you in the ass, especially when you're a player like me who doesn't maybe play it perfectly every time. There's a lot of situations when it's really correct to just not play Lavinia at all. Save it for like being a shitty silence sometimes. It can act more as that. Playing Lavinia, tapping out, passing, you really can't do that more than zero times, but really like one time you can get away with.
I remember at the CEDH tournament that we did at Cloud, you came up to me after a game and said, remember how after the last game I said that Lavinia is so good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I take it back.
It sucks now, yeah. I'm leaving it in for now. The main reason being, I still do think it's really good against the turbo decks, and it's a decent way for me to say, I'm just going to not lose on turn two. I would have lost on turn two. If Lavinia makes me lose on turn four, at least it bought me two turns.
Honestly,
at least it got me some time.
A turn one Lavinia, like, on the play also stops Ragrak from coming out.
Exactly. Like, there's a lot of things that it can shut off, and for that reason, I'm keeping it in for now, but it's on my watch list for sure. There's specifically another card that I always forget the name of, Niambi?
Niambi. Yeah, that's Teferi's daughter, yeah.
Right, the blue-white legend that allows you to return a creature from play to hand when it enters and it has flash. A flash legendary is really nice to allow Sisse to quickly get bigger and maybe find what I want, but also the fact that it is a 2-mana permanent that can get me Dockside back to my hand and allow me to recast Dockside. Sisse, I feel like I have an issue where if Sisse can't find a 3-drop, Sisse's not getting anything super relevant, right? Like, Kinnan is good, but I just tapped out all of my mana probably to get the Kinnan. Lotho is good, but like, that doesn't do anything to me right now, so 5-mana to get a Lotho is not so great. A lot of the options at 2-mana aren't so great. This one is like an option where, like, if Dockside makes enough treasure and I can find the Dockside, it can help me win the game off of a very small activation. And Sisse can get to 3 power pretty easily with just like a Ragavan or a Noble Hierarch's Exalted Trigger or something like that. That's a little bit easier. So I've been thinking about that one. Still, for right now, I'm not including it, but it's like the highest one on my list.
I like that. I would support that if you went that way, yeah.
Some other cards that I've been thinking about cutting are Oko. Oko is like a broken card, obviously, which feels really strange, but it's still like 3-mana removal. I love that it's 2 extra legendary boosts to Sisse, so it allows me to like get rid of the Dranith Magistrate, cast my Sisse, and win the game sometimes. In my mind, it's not a staple. It's not like a must-include for the deck. It's good, but it's not a must-include. There's another Diada, Gaia Drone Diada.
Yeah, the Grixis one.
Yes, and this one I've thought about a lot. This is a haste enabler for my Bloom Tender type things.
Interesting, which is, really?
Yeah, because technically it gains control of a creature and then it gives it haste, but you can gain control of your own creature.
Your own, yeah.
So there's a lot of lines that involve the Fae Burrow Elder, Bloom Tender, or Silvala, Heart of the Wilds, and it's really nice if you can use something like a Tyvar to give them haste or exile them from your graveyard with Agatha Soul Cauldron to give another creature in play their ability. That's really nice, and this Giga Drone Diada kind of does something similar.
I like calling her Giga Drone a lot better.
What is it? What is her
actual name? Gaia Drone, I think is what it is, but...
She's also a win condition. For some reason, if Saheeli goes, you can loop your Planeswalker loop with her to... for sure kill the player who's dead. Now, this loop, you're going through with Nicol Bolas, so you're drawing through your deck and exiling cards anyway, so
it's win more.
They're already dead.
It's win more,
but you can say like to your opponents, like, I don't have to pass turn and let you untap. Like, you're just also dead right now because of this, and also wins through the One Ring, you know, whatever, which is nice.
That's really nice, too. I don't know. I could see this version of Diada being really good for you, yeah.
Right. The issue is 4 mana is kind of a lot. This is a mana deck. Literally 50% of the deck is mana, but 4 mana is still kind of a lot. And 3 pips is really helpful for Sisse because gets to 5 power, she can basically go through any combo as long as she has a bottom, a Dockside, a Mana Maker, a Bloom Tender, something like that. I've thought about adding that card. It's still, I'm not sure about it. I still haven't included it.
I think that's fair, but I do like the idea of like having a line where you can just have like your Bloom Tender. You can search for this, or you could search for like even Tyvar first if you don't even have enough pips.
Yes.
So that way you can like activate Sisse again and then find this and then untap Bloom Tender.
I didn't mention that actually. It's an untapper. The haste is yes, but it being an untapper is also specifically
relevant. That's the most
important
part.
That's also really nice.
And you get to put a corruption counter on it, too.
And that's just fucking cool.
That's awesome. It's corrupted.
It's also sort of removal. It can gain control of a...
Dranith Magistrate or an opposition agent, even.
Yes. Any of the one-sided stacks effects, it's also pseudo-removal.
So it's doing... arguably the same thing that Oko does, yeah.
That's kind of why I want to make the swap. It's a similar to Oko thing, but it can also help me just win the game, where Oko can't actually allow me to win the game.
That
There's
would
no
be,
loop with Oko.
Yeah, no, it's literally just interaction. Yeah.
So right. I could see that.
I think that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Now, we talked about the Pyro Blast and Elemental Blast. I'm not playing them in this deck. Sisse is so tight for slots. There are certain things that I'm not playing. Red's not my main color, so I'm just not playing that. But besides that, I don't really want to change anything else. Cultist of the Absolute is an interesting card in that a lot of times it doesn't really do much at all, but it also allows you to win very quickly, and I feel like the fact that it gives basically +4 to Sisse for 1 mana is like kind of an unheard of rate, so I think for now it'll stay. It's a card that I also have my eyes on.
I think that's fair, yeah, because it does do nothing if you don't have access to Sisse, but it is so powerful with Sisse there.
Yeah, but other than that, I've been loving Sisse. I think the deck is super powerful. I think it's in a great spot where it can pretty consistently like present a win on turn three. We had a game last night where I don't know that I played perfectly, but I presented, I think we counted 7 wins.
It was a lot of
just
wins.
Just like from
yeah.
turn three on, turn 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I tried to win twice on the 6th turn or something like that. It was just, I could present to win every time. Now, everyone had all the ways to stop me and everyone had anything. So there's an argument that I probably should have stopped trying to go for a fucking win and just like draw some cards instead and wait. Maybe I should have done that. But the fact that it was able to present that many wins in a row, I felt is pretty impressive for a deck.
I think so too, yeah. That you just have so many layered cards together and so many different options. Like a lot of decks would be like, oh, I tried to win 5 times. I'm just out of this game now.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I think realistically, more often than not, the way that you beat Sisei is kill Sisei. Like any other commander-centric deck, keep Sisei off the board and I'll have a hard time winning.
If you can't, you have to get rid of the mana creatures, those Bloom Tenders, Faber Elders that we talked about.
And specifically exile them, because there are several ways that Sisei can find ways to get them back or continue using them. So
Tyvar will, screw you up.
Yeah, so stuff like Path to Exile and Swords of Pasha are better than cards like Dismember against Sisei specifically, in my opinion, because that exile is super important. There's also an argument that sometimes you can just like wait and like kill the Aminatu in response to like after I'm going through the loop, but you have to make sure that I'm not going to be able to quietly find a Teferi in the middle of my line. Sometimes that happens where I have 2 extra mana and you thought I was going to find one thing, I'll find Teferi instead, you can't interact, and now I can bounce my Dockside and recast it and then just keep going.
Way better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, so make sure that, you know, I don't have the ability to do that, but other than that, exiling the mana dorks or just keeping Sisei off the board is the best way to get rid of the deck.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What do you think you're going to do differently in this event than that you did at Cloud City?
Remember that Sakashima, a clone, is in my deck and tutorable. I can search for a clone at any time. That's super important to remember. So if someone puts a Dockside on the stack and they're going to go for a win, actually, I'm going to do that. Actually.
Me first, please.
And then we're just remembering like when I can win at instant speed and off of how much mana. In order to find the Derevi, Gaia's Cradle, Mount Doom, Eladamri's line, I was thinking about how this does. If you have the dork that can tap 4 or 5, you just need 3 additional mana, I think, to be able to win. But that's still 8 mana that you have to have up. But if the first activation goes find Derevi to untap the mana dork, the second activation goes finds Emil with the 3 mana flickers the Derevi, untap, activate again. The next one goes finds Gaia's Cradle. And then at this point, you have 3 creatures in play because you have Derevi, Emil, and the Mana Maker. Gaia's Cradle taps for at least 3, plus the Sisei and probably more. Use the 3 mana to flicker the Derevi to untap the Gaia's Cradle. Net a mana, hopefully, because you have the 4 creatures. Infinite green, infinite colors of all of your other lands by flickering Derevi to untap them with the Emil and the Gaia's Cradle, and then you find Mount Doom and win them. But I have to remember that like I need my mana maker to make 5 and then only 3 more mana, and then I should be able to win the game from that. Like those type of things of like, when can I win the game from in game? It's kind of like hard to like think through the whole line. So the shortcuts is what I want to get a little bit better at familiarizing myself
with.
Yeah,
I feel that. I can tell you're already practicing because this is like the 3rd time in a row that we've gone through that specific line.
Yeah, okay.
But that's good because like that's how like you got to get it in your head, and you want to make sure that like it's in the back of your hand so that you can just go, no, this is what I'm getting. This is what I'm getting. This is what I'm getting. It makes it a lot easier than to know how to pivot. Then when you automatically know exactly what you're doing, you get comfortable, but you get comfortable enough so that way you can pivot when you need to.
There was a moment last night when we were playing where Chen, our buddy, had cast a snap and he had tapped out his black source to bounce something.
Oh yeah.
I had the opportunity in my head to respond by bouncing his opposition agent, and then he didn't have the mana to be able to recast the opposition agent, and I could have went for a win, but I just like didn't see it in time. Like I just like didn't realize it was there until after I said pass priority on the snap, and I was like, oh, that would have been a moment. I didn't realize that you wouldn't have been able to cast the opposition back in, and I probably could have presented a win right there. So situations like that I'm trying to look for.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Long-winded. Let's go to your deck too, yeah?
Nice. Deck 2, Nadu.
Nadu.
Nadu, yeah. I haven't looked at my Nadu list in quite a little while because I didn't know if it was going to get banned or not.
Yeah. It seems like no is the answer.
It seems like no for right now. So yeah. I might as well start thinking about it, and I might as well start playing it a little bit more.
I think Nadu's here to stay. I think it is one of the top tier decks of the format right
now. I think so too, yeah. So now that I am thinking about how I'm already playing Prismatic Vista. No, whoa. Paradise Mantle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm already playing Paradise Mantle in the deck because it's like a really bad Shuko. I should be playing Valley Floodcaller then.
Probably.
Why not? Yeah, I feel like that allows me to also be able to like flash in Shuko too. Like, I don't know that because I can't equip at instant speed, like you're not going to be able to win the game at instant speed so easily. So does that make sense if I'm not going to be able to win?
I think you should put Born Upon the Wind and Valley Floodcaller in the deck.
Oh, okay.
I think you should do both.
I just do both.
And then be able to, yeah, win at instant speed if you need to. I feel like the deck makes a ton of mana, so the extra mana to cast these things is fine. The only issue is
I can't equip at instant speed.
You can't equip at instant speed. So
that's
maybe
why
not.
That's why they don't run it originally.
Maybe not. I think for now, maybe not. Because you can't actually go through your main combo line at instant speed, even if you can cast stuff.
Even like Unctus says activate at sorcery speed.
Yeah, I would say no. I don't think you should include those cards yet. But I do think Nadu is crazy, very powerful. Top. Do you think it should be banned? No.
I don't think it should be banned yet.
Not yet.
Yeah,
okay.
I still want a little bit more data.
Yeah.
It did not win the Invitational. So I still would like a little bit more data on Nadu before we ban it. I haven't bought any cards for Nadu. It's still 50% proxies right now because like I didn't really know what's going on. But I might start to invest in some cards.
I think you probably could. I mean, the Commander Rules Committee has basically said that they're not going to be banning stuff for CDH. So, I think that you're good to play it.
I think I'm going to be looking into it a little bit more. And now that it's banned in Modern, I feel like, I don't know this, has the price of Shuko come down?
Probably.
Does it make sense to buy a Shuko now?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, probably. I'm not sure. I would have to check.
Maybe it's something that I'll think about actually, like, investing into making like more of a paper deck now that if it is going to stick around, but definitely something I want to play a little bit more. Because now that, like, the lines are in my head a lot easier than they were when I first started playing. Like, I kind of want to use them. I kind of want to use the reason why I use this brain space for it.
I think also we've figured out a way to like kind of represent clearly the Shuko line stuff using the two tokens.
Oh, thank you, Sabretooth.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You have a one and a two. You put the Shuko in between them and you just move the creature you're equipping to the one, to the two. You don't have to move the equipment with it. Right? We know what you're doing. You don't have to move the equipment every time.
And every time I make a new, I've started keeping my whole pack of tokens just like
off
out in my hand with me. And not like, don't ever put them back.
Yeah, you're going to use them again. And I think that makes it a lot easier now that we know the line. And we also know when we're dead a lot of the time. Okay, you have Scoot Swarm, you have a zero equipper, you have two mana or one or it's done.
Or
whatever.
Even I got into a spot the last time that I was playing it that I had Springheart Nantuko, which is not a guarantee, but then I found Field of the Dead. And then I was like, now each land I'm going to play is going to make me two creatures. And that's basically like building my own Scoot Swarm at that point. So I just need to find like a tutor or a something. And I showed them a clone in my hand so I could reset all of the creatures in play too. And at that point, I think, again, you got to know when to scoop if you're playing against Nadu in that scenario.
There's a certain point when like they have 30 creatures and they have a clone and they say, I'm going to do this again. And then 30 creatures means 60 more looks.
You would have interacted if you had something
by then. That's the whole deck, right? But
yeah.
It does have a little bit of the Gitrog monster of like, it's not a definitive loop. You don't just pick up your deck. You do a lot of steps in between picking up your deck.
But it's also a lot more malleable than the Gitrog combo because in the middle of going through everything, I can crap rotation for what I need, or like I can worldly tutor for the Scoot Swarm at some point so that it's not as unsure at that point.
Yes, but it's what I'm trying to say is it's not shortcuttable.
Oh, it's
You can't just explain to your your opponent can say that's enough for me, I'll concede. But like it's also like kind of within their tournament, right? If you're in a tournament to say like, I want to see you play it out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to see you play it out because I love watching decks go out. Because, like, I'm in a tournament. But I feel that, yeah. Like,
are you playing Thassa's Oracle?
I am not playing Thassa's Oracle. Okay. That's what I also think makes it a little bit more fun. But I am thinking about playing Thassa's Oracle after Max was playing Thassa's Oracle.
It is nice, like, because it is a good way to, like, just show your opponents, like, I have a Thassa's Oracle.
I'm just going to go through my whole
deck. And I've proven to you that I'm going to go through the rest of my deck at least. There will be many steps in between. But, like, here is the definitive win. I think it's easier for your opponents to say, like, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like the Finale of Devastation thing for me is now really easy to say and announce and go through too, but I should have a backup for in case the finale gets exiled or something that like I can still win the game super easy instead of having to explain how endurance and my infinite mana with Displacer Kitten loops and sacrificing Cephalid Colosseum to draw everyone out. Like, I feel like that's so much harder to show and present that you can actually go through your deck an infinite number of times that way.
It's also just a blue card pitch to Force of Will, you know? It's fine.
Right, yeah. So that's not it. I'm keeping it around. What's your second deck you want to talk about?
Rock'sai.
No shit.
We're just talking about the metagame, aren't we?
We're literally just talking about the metagame.
That's the four best decks in the format.
Well, I feel like
that's... What's the name of the channel?
I feel like that's our... It's our responsibility to make sure that we have the four best decks together between the two of us in some form or fashion.
Cody's apart. I took it apart, put Rock'sai together. Cody's great. Deck is wonderful. It can present turn two and turn three wins very consistently. Rock'sai can do that too, but it backs him up with counter magic.
Which is so much
better. Which is so much better. Cody can't really do that.
You get
much.
To play all of the cards when you want to play them instead of like having to figure out how to get rid of your commander.
It carves a better window too. Rather than like carving a window, Cody has a sledgehammer and just like starts smashing the door. And
on
like,
a gun.
Hey, everyone, I'm finding a window. And like it gets, everyone gives enough time to like stop him from hammering the board. You know what I mean? Rock'sai is just like, I'll win now, please.
I can win now because I can play Born Upon the Wind and Valley Flood Caller, and I can like Necropotence and Final Fortune. Like it gives you so many more options to do that too.
Absolutely. I'm playing, I think, exactly Brian Koval's list from when he played at the Invitational.
Hard to not do that.
Which I think is almost exactly, or if not exactly, Bryant Cook's list from before that, which is the list I was on previously.
Yeah, hard to not do that either.
Added some obvious ones like the Valley Flood Caller, the Necrodominance, which are new cards. Gitaxian Probe back in the deck. Very excited about that.
Nice.
Probe is underrated. I think we should have been playing Probe this whole time.
I think at this point now, with the meta speeding up, I think the information is more powerful than it was before.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is too.
Yeah. And there's also just like, since there's less turns on average for Rock'sai, the two life to give someone a Rhystic Study just to make sure that they don't have any counter magic or see what counter magic they have is still worth it, I think.
Ooh, you get to see the card they draw off Rhystic Study too, which you is sure kind of nice then too.
So it's nice to know like, okay, they have Flusterstorm, and that's their only counter magic, so I know my Underworld Breach will resolve right now.
That's a good point, too.
And then I can do other shit. Like, I know the type of interaction that they have is Force of Negations, so I'll play my Dockside Extortionist right now. Like, that information, I feel like, is huge, so I'm really happy about that. And then there was a fourth card that was added that's different. Flare of Duplication was the other fourth card that's been recently added to Rock'sai.
Ooh, yeah! That
some things
really
that
good.
I didn't realize about Flare. First, in my head, it's a counterspell. Copy your counterspell. It's a counterspell. Great. Some things that it can do. Copy a Demonic Tutor. Copy a Beseech the Mirror. Copy an Ad Nauseam, if you want to. If they're going to counter your Ad Nauseam, I will copy my Ad Nauseam instead. I will copy your Ad Nauseam instead. For zero mana. I will, for zero mana, sacrifice my Rograk and copy your Ad Nauseam. And I have all this mana up while I'm Ad Nauseam on instant speed now. It's crazy. Cards is super good. And I'm really excited to play it a lot. But Rock'sai is just, we don't need to talk more about why Rock'sai is insane, right? Like, everyone knows it is one of, if not the best decks in the format right now. I think it and Nadu are fighting each other for the best decks. The end step wins, like we were talking about earlier, Rock'sai does them better than anyone, like truly, with all the mana that you get. So yeah, I'm really liking this deck.
I like the idea of someone else's Ad Nauseam getting countered, and then in response to that, you get to Ad Nauseam too. Like that's giving me a headache already thinking about how cool that is.
A lot of windows that this deck can find too, which is, a lot of windows, is really nice. Yeah.
Nice, cool.
What about you, your third deck?
My third deck is Atali. We're finally getting outside of the top five. Atali's staying around. I think Atali's going to be around for quite a while, I think. Yeah,
it's just your fun deck. It's your go-to deck, yeah.
I'm always going to need to have a food chain deck together, and I've had so much fun playing Atali, more so than probably any other deck recently, that I'm still keeping it together.
Win or lose, it's just like a good time.
Exactly, and the Atali community is great too, so I love being a part of that as well. Yeah. So I'm just so happy with that big dumb dino that I'm going to keep running it as much as I can.
Anything new or interesting that you've added recently?
The Metamorphosis, the one-time food chain for one mana, has been very good. And I haven't really added a ton from Modern Horizons or Bloomborough, really.
Okay.
I added the Disciple of Frailes.
Oh, the sacrifice to draw cards.
Yeah, that's also a land. Yeah. Seems really good in the deck. Does a little bit of everything that I want it to, but I really haven't been adding a ton of other stuff to it. I've been thinking that if anything I want to do, I want to try to add Seething Song to the deck.
Okay.
Like more things
more
that
mana.
Will help me.
Yeah, Seething Song makes sense.
Yeah, like more things that will help me power out Atali really early. I feel like that's where Atali's strength is going to be now too, especially as the format's speeding up more. Atali can easily come out on turn two with the right hand a lot of the time, even mulliganing down to four. So I think just like maximizing my chances of that instead of like playing Manglehorn, even maybe I still want Manglehorn. Maybe that's a bad example. But like other cards that are going to be a little bit more mid-rangey, maybe I want to look to take out and just add more mana to.
You are playing Manglehorn?
I am on Manglehorn, yeah.
I think Manglehorn is good because I think it quietly makes your Docksides better because everyone plays their Docksides and like, oh, let me just get them out now so I can untap my treasures later. And you're like, haha, my treasures don't come intact.
Mine are good now,
I think,
yeah.
For situations like that, I think Manglehorn is really good. But I understand the desire to cut it because Itali wants to go fast. So 3 mana for a not help you go fast card.
No, like a Mulled to 5 that has a turn 1 Manglehorn off Mana Crypt feels like a trap sometimes. Because
yeah.
Like, that's great. I can impact the board right away, but
then what?
If my other two cards aren't like Jeweled Lotus.
You kind of have to be Italying. If you're not Italying, it doesn't do anything.
Exactly.
My third deck, Timnitana, I don't need my commanders as much. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They're nice to have, but all my pieces are small and kind of do similar things, whereas all of your pieces, like, without a Tali, your Twin Flame looks like shit.
It does nothing, yeah.
Right?
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
Like that, yeah.
So speaking of Timnitana, though,
I've kept it together forever. I think at this point it'll stay with me forever. Timnitana is one of those decks that, although it's never, like, great for the format, if you build it right, I do think it can do really well in certain tournaments and certain situations. Recently, I've tried to put in more interaction and less stacks pieces. So Endurance is in the deck right now. I still have Delayed Blast Fireball, which feels like a lot of mana, but against Kinnan, which is one of my worst matchups with that deck, I feel like it's really good. And also against Nadu, I think it's not nothing. The fact that it can also help ping off the Rograx if I need to, it can be also helpful, but I've been thinking about swapping that one for Dismember because I just want more cheap, fast removal and interaction.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like what's helpful against Nadu more than anything is just instant speed spot removal and get rid of the Nadu.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's going to be tough to find a time to want to instant speed Pyroclasm the table at 3 mana even, too.
Exactly,
like that still does seem really slow.
And I have Fire Covenant as a way to do something similar to like that anyway.
Way better. 75 Nadu triggers.
Yeah, right? The main thing that I like about it specifically is like what I want out of this deck is like the Jund philosophy. Like, all my cards have to represent more of my opponent's cards. So Delayed Blast Fireball, getting rid of 4 or 5 things, is extra good in my deck because I can utilize that, I think, better than like fast combo decks can. Like, yeah, combo decks get rid of 4 things, but like, they don't care about 2 of them and it doesn't really matter. They just want to win the game.
I took it out of Itali because it
doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's great if I like spin into it off of Itali.
Yeah, but I can't even do that. I can't really even realistically cast it from exile. Like, that's not something I can do.
No, I don't think it ended up being that great of a CEDH card,
yeah.
I don't think.
So I think I'm going to cut that one for Dismember. But besides that, I'm really happy with where the rest of the deck is. I love the Angels, Shalai and Garda. 4-mana Angels are really nice that they protect my team, also being like flying beaters that help me put pressure on my opponents and attack with Timna is really nice.
Are you on Drana and Linvala?
I'm on Drana and Linvala also. Less 6 drops, no more 6 drops in the deck, but more 4 and 5 drops that are good. More things like Wandering Archaic and Tender Shoot Dryad that can get a lot of value
Tender Shoot Dryad.
Yeah, things like Solitude and Fury that can be free interaction early, but can also just like help be beaters in the late game is really helpful. So I love where the deck is. It's just slow. That's its big issue right now, is like this version of the deck is still very slow, and that's okay. I like it when I know I'm going into casual CDH pods with slow decks. It's just a little bit more comfortable. If we're all playing like not tier 1 decks, I don't want to like win on turn 2 when my opponents are maybe not doing that quite as much all the time. I love winning on turn 2, don't get me wrong, but it's nice to have an option for a slower deck for when I want to play in different types of pods.
I agree, and that will be a great deck as we move past the fast meta into stacks meta.
If that is actually what we're doing and we find out that stacks is the way to beat Rog'Sai, I volunteer Timnitana as the way to do that, not Winota. I know Winota can steamroll and get a hand very quickly. Winota, you see where the target is, got a Cody issue, everyone knows where to attack. Timnitana is less like that, I think. Yeah, you can kill Timna. Don't kill Tana. Who cares about Tana? You can kill Timna if you want, but it's really the other stuff that's getting you.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my thoughts for right now. I want to build a fourth deck. I don't know if I'm going to fucking get there.
Honestly, dude, me neither. Because, well, I thought I wanted to build a fourth deck, and then I thought I wanted to take Nadu apart. And now I'm like, I think I'm keeping Nadu together, and I just need a fourth deck. But I want to make sure that it's like a fun deck. Like, I want a fun deck to play.
I've been looking for something like that. Something in the same realm of Timnitana. Something that's not the best deck in the format. Some thoughts for me are Yuriko is an old love of mine that I would love to bring back.
That really definitely got a lot of boost recently. We've been talking about Yuriko quite a bit.
Stuff that I've played in the past that I really like the Shark.
Brawlin' and Shabraz?
Brawlin' and Shabraz.
Oh, wow.
Is one that I think is kind of interesting. I don't know. I probably won't put that one together, but having big flying creatures in the command zone feels kind of great in like a slower feel, like if I'm doing for something like that.
Yeah, but also being able to like side pocket into an intuition line also seems pretty cool.
Yes, exactly. So that one's high on my list. And then I'm always looking at kind of the Rakdos commanders, specifically the new Rakdos seems looks like pretty good. Omnixilis seems like he's also a good option. So I might look into something like that for my fourth deck, but I'm not sure. Nothing's like pulling me really yet out of those. Those are just like kind of, so I don't want to like really do it until like I'm like gung-ho about an option. I haven't quite found it yet.
Yeah, I know Nadu is a very new commander, but I'm also kind of hoping that Duskmourn has a new commander that I really want to put together.
Duskmourn seems really good. That seems so fun. So many cool big demons and stuff. Like, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff.
There seems like there's a lot of cool stuff so far. At the time that we're recording, we haven't seen everything quite yet, so I'm still hopeful that like maybe there's something else that's out there, but nothing so far has been like, oh, I want to put this together permanently, but sometimes I build decks for the channel, and then that's when I figure out that I really, really like it and want to keep it together, so.
Did we know Nadu was going to be as busted as it was when we built it for the channel?
I did, yeah, because I played against it on a playday, and it crushed me, and I, while I was losing to it, I texted you, and I said, dibs on Nadu, and you were like, okay.
He's like, sure, yeah, what could go wrong?
How bad could it be?
Yeah, really. But Nadu's good. So what about you for a fourth deck? Do you have something in mind?
No, not yet. Magda keeps popping back into my head, and if we're going to speed up, I'm going to be a little bit more interested in Magda, but I'm not sure I'm there quite yet on Magda, especially after not seeing her a ton over the summer. Like, I don't know if she's actually in as good of a spot as I thought that she was.
Yeah, that's
otherwise, fair. I'm starting to think maybe I want to scroll, like, really far down on some of these websites and seeing like what kind of like weird partners, off the walls. I've always been thinking about Marnius Kalgar as a deck too, just because I've never wanted to play Tivit. So I don't know. I think it's still pretty wide open. I think I got to play a couple more games, see what other people are doing to innovate after we got like more Valley Floodcaller stuff, Bloomborough cards, and like seeing how more of these Modern Horizons cards continue to unfold in the format too.
Yep, I think we're going to find over time that we missed some other things probably, and there's some secret sleepers in Modern Horizons that are going to end up making a big impact in CDH.
Yeah, so I don't know when my fourth deck is coming together, but hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon. If you have any ideas for fourth decks for us, let us know. Until then, thanks so much for watching. What do I say?
If you want to support
us directly, you can follow us on Patreon.
Like who, Dylan?
Like our $100 patrons.
Funko K, Sparky B, Insomnia, SC Phillip, Olden Grumpy, Gecko 21, Caleb Ritchie, Zach Hartley, Reactive, Sean in the Ice, Mark Cirillo, Stormageddon, Luke Cook, Demon of Rosgrease, Peter Stewart, Corna Wild, Uncle Butts, Nick Foles Goat 09, Kwaja A. Hamid, Lauren Connell, and Baby G Bus.
If you want to pick up any of our merch, you can do that at playtowinmtg.com.
Thank you to Dragon Shield for supporting the show. Use our affiliate link and code PlayToWin5 for 5% off your orders there.
Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram for more content.
Thank you so much for watching.
See you next time.
Roy Turner, Orjan, Mystic Muffin Man, Jacob Bauer, Tyler Watson, Zachary Coulson, Tyler H., Mulcraft, Jabaha, Mace the Ace, Dalton Poteet, Hobo Ghost, Justin, Man Solo, Jacob Depp, Jan Wildfang, Thomas Bueno, and David Nelson. I was watching One Piece yesterday, and someone said that he's going to wreck it, and that's all I could think about.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply in-app only.